Good morning. The first reading this morning is from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, on the basis of God's mercy, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable act of worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of yourselves more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. The second reading this morning is from Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and the prayers. Awe came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who are being saved.
We live in a world that is full of blessings that we can find daily, full of blessings that we can look at through the lens of special days like the holiday tomorrow and the 4th of July. But as we look around the world, we also have to admit that times can be overwhelming, that there are problems out there. There's challenges, good news and bad news mix in the daily reports, and people choose up sides based on how they or others react to what is happening. So it's no wonder that some days when we get home, we want to kind of cuddle up with some kind of cozy comfort food. I mean, have you noticed that comfort food is rarely calorie conscious? Chips or chocolate, wings or pizza, ice cream and a glass of wine or three, it's all comforting, but it does have that caloric drawback to it. But there is one comfort food that can break that kind of killer cholesterol cozy connection, and that is popcorn, as long as you don't add a lot of butter. The smell of fresh popcorn is one of the most seductive aromas around. And movie theaters will start popping popcorn as people arrive so that the aroma will draw them to the snack counter, even if they hadn't really planned on buying any. There's just something about those bags of fluffy, puffy goodness. And there was no doubt that in college and seminary, one way to fill a dull, empty room was to pop a bag of Orville Redenbacher's into a microwave. Friends and strangers drawn by the aroma would stop in to say hello. Lightly salted at best, popcorn is a safe delight. It has great smell. It has a crunchy texture, but also a puffiness to it. It's low in fat. It even gives you fiber. But the most wonderful thing about popcorn, I think, is how the kernels respond to heat. Now, you can take meat or vegetables, and for the most part, if you apply heat to them, what happens? They'll look the same, they may be tastier, they may be softer, but we recognize it for what it was when we started. But not so popcorn. Hard, dry, lifeless-looking kernels react to heat by transforming themselves into billowy mounds of soft, nourishing, and entertaining food. Heat doesn't simply improve the kernels or add flavor to them. Heat completely alters the form of the kernel, kind of redefines them. Heat transforms kernels into popcorn. And I want you to hold on to that image of what transformation really means. Because we're told in Scripture that we should be transformed, that we shouldn't conform to the world. Jesus wants us not to be better, but to be transformed also. So we say we want to make a change. We say we want a new start. But all too often, what we settle for is simply more of what we were, maybe a better part of what we were, or being a bit improved. But we're not transformed. We want to be our same old selves, just kind of amped up a notch or two. We plan to be new and improved, but we are not transformed in the way that Christ was asking. Now, we can hear that laundry detergents, cake mixes, and cars boast of being new and improved. And for the most part, we know that in reality, laundry detergent is still basically soap, cake mix still makes it a dessert, and a new model is still just a car. But when it comes to ourselves, we like to think that transformation happens by doing what we think is best just a little better than we did before. Now, the church in the book of Acts, those early Christians, they were transformed as they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching in the words of Scripture. And they did exactly what our core value of spiritual growth stresses, studying the Word of God revealed to us by the Spirit, growing in relationship with God and each other, sharing insights, questions, perspectives, new understandings as we deepen our understanding of God's intent for our life and what Christ is calling us to be. We are called to transform ourselves by the transformation of our minds, Paul says, and I like the way Eugene Peterson phrased it in his paraphrasing translation of the Bible called The Message. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God, and you'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. That's the kind of transformation we want. We don't want to simply be better at memorizing the scripture verses or remembering to pray daily. We want a life that changes. Later on in the 12th chapter of Romans, Paul kind of gives an inventory of what the transformed life is to look like. It includes generosity. Those who are transformed break worldly cycles of selfishness by letting the blessings of life spill out beyond themselves. Hospitality. In a world where strangers are usually seen as threats, transformed faithful people turn them into welcome guests. Harmony. The transformed Christian looks to the interests of others and allow the world to see the power of Christ that draws us into larger and ever more righteous connections with one another. And no vengeance. Transformed Christians are to give food to their enemy, Paul went on to write, because in the end, nobody can resist the impact of a gesture of life when it is seriously enacted. And as we get transformed, the worship, study, prayer, fellowship, caring, hospitality mission to which those first disciples devoted themselves and to which we are to devote ourselves, become vehicles of transformation, not just for ourselves, but for others. And one way this transformation occurs often in the book of Acts is through speeches. You don't have to go far before encountering what becomes a major narrative device throughout the story of Acts, and that is speeches, starting with Peter's on that first Pentecost, and they keep popping up. The prevalence of speeches in Acts points to the basic importance of what could be called the articulacy of belief, our ability to articulate, to put into words what forms the core of a thriving community's existence, when we can tell what it was that transformed us. We're at a time when, in some ways, our dominant forms of media technology have enabled us to do that well. We are better able to develop networks across time and space. We are worshiping today with people not just in this room, but wherever they are online. And all this helps us to deepen and extend the sense that Christians are united with one another, even across the globe, in common identity, mission, and hope. Of course, there are also drawbacks to our modern technology. And one of the risks that might concern most Christians these days is the potential to lose our ability to be as articulate as we might. Because if you texted, you may agree with me that BTW, you may LOL at this, but IMHO, we increasingly abbreviate conversations, leaving me SMH at times. If you don't understand all of that, see me after the service or talk to a younger person. The gospel will touch hearts. The Spirit will inspire and support individual lives, and hearts will be transformed. And we can learn how to articulate the message of our faith when we devote ourselves to these things. Not every articulation of the faith needs to be a long speech. And we can always learn to do it a bit better than we do. And there's always time. After all, in my best dad joke fashion, I say it is always better to articulate than never. We can trust the presence of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We can empty ourselves of self-centeredness and allow Jesus to fill us, and we can be transformed. There will always be resistance to transformation, our own resistance, as we stretch ourselves beyond comfort levels, perhaps a resistance of others who aren't used to what we are becoming. But the Lord of the gospel has not quit on us. And right here, as we gather together, as we devote ourselves to these practices, there is a gift of a transformed way of life open to us. Alive to all that is good. It's impossible for such as us to do it on our own, but it is promised among us by the grace of Jesus Christ. And in a church, any church, this one, with transformation happening from the inside out, FPC can be a place that is popping, and the aroma of transformation will draw others to share the faith. Amen.